Canto 2, Chapter 2. The Lord in the Heart. Sri Shuka said, by contemplating the Supreme Self of the Universal Form, from which one generated, like Lord Brahma did, one, by thus finding satisfaction with the original person, regains the remembrance that was lost. With one's vision thus cleared, the intelligence then operates as before, so that one can get one's life in order. One's spiritual adherence to the sounds of the impersonal absolute truth makes the intelligence, because of the many terms associated with it, ponder over incoherent ideas, because of which one, without ever finding joy, wanders around in illusory realities and the different desires belonging to them, as if one is dreaming. With the practical insight that he otherwise would be engaged in useless, troublesome work, an intelligent, attentive person fixed in his attention to achieve perfection in meditation must therefore only minimally, not more than necessary, abide by imaginary, non-spiritual purposes. What is the need for endeavoring for a bed when you can lie on the ground? Why would you strive for a pillow when you have your arms? Why should you endeavor for utensils if you can eat with your hands? And why would you worry about clothing when the trees are there with their bark? Are there no rags lying in the street? Is there no giving in charity? Do the trees not offer their alms, maintaining others? Have the rivers dried up? Are the caves closed? Has the Almighty Lord given up on protecting the surrendered soul? Why would a learned man then have to speak to the liking of those who are led by wealth? When one thus, with the matter of him, the most cherished, eternal one, super soul, fully present in one's heart, is detached from the world, one must be of worship for him, the fortunate one, the permanent gain by which, for certain, the cause of one's material bondage is put to an end. Who else but the materialists would, with neglecting the transcendental thoughts, take to the non-permanent of material denominations, because of which they, who constitute the general mass of the people that is controlled by the misery of the reactions of its fruitive labor, see themselves as fallen into the river of suffering? Others see in the meditation upon him within their own body the personality of Godhead, residing in the region of the heart, measuring 8 inches, having 4 arms, carrying the lotus, the wheel of the chariot, the conch shell, and the club. With his mouth expressing happiness, his eyes wide open like a lotus, his clothes yellowish like a kadamba flower, bedecked with jewels and with golden ornaments studded with precious stones, he wears a glowing headdress with earrings. His feet are positioned on the whirl of the lotus hearts of the great mystics. On his chest he wears the beautifully engraved Kaustubha jewel, and around his neck he has a fresh flower garland spreading its beauty. With a decorative wrap around his waist, valuable finger rings, ringing laclets, bangles, oiled, spotless, bluish, curly hair, and his beautiful, smiling face, he looks very pleasing. His magnanimous pastimes and the glowing glances of his expression are indicative of the extensive benedictions of this particular transcendental form of the Lord one should focus upon, as long as the mind can be fixed on it for the purpose of one's meditation. One should meditate upon the limbs, one by one, starting from the feet up, until one sees his smiling face, and thus, gradually taking control of the mind, one departs in one's meditation for higher and higher spheres and purifies that way the intelligence. As long as the materialist has not developed devotional service to this form of the Lord, who is the seer of the mundane and transcendental worlds, he must, when he is finished with his prescribed duties, with proper attention remember the universal form of the original person. Whenever one desires to give up one's body, O king, one should, as a sage, without being disturbed, comfortably seated, and with one's thinking, unperturbed by matters of time and place, in control of the life air, restrain the senses with the help of the mind, regulating the mind by the power of one's pure intelligence in relation to the original witness within, the knower of the field, one should merge with this self. That self should be confined to the fully satisfied supersoul, and thus putting an end to all activities, one will attain full bliss. Therein, one will not find the supremacy of time that for sure controls the godly who direct the worldly creatures with their demigods, nor will one find there mundane goodness, passion or ignorance, or any material change or causality of nature at large. Knowing what and what not relates to the divine of the transcendental position, they, who wish to avoid what is godless, completely give up the perplexities of arguing to time and place, and place thereto, in purely at him directed goodwill, every moment his worshipable lotus feet in their heart. The sage, familiar with the science of properly regulating the force of the senses in service of the purpose of life, should retire in the following way. He must block his eyes with his heel and direct the life air upward through the 6 primary places, navel, plexus, heart, throat, eyebrows, and top of the skull, and thus overcome the state of material inertia. The meditator should, with the strength of his vision of wisdom, gradually direct the life breath from the navel to the plexus, the heart, and from there to the chest, from where he should bring it slowly into his throat and thus extinguish his material desires. The seer who is of detachment should, in order to attain the supreme, by blocking the 7 outlets, the ears, the eyes, the nostrils, and the mouth, from between the eyebrows enter the domain of the head to remain there for a while for the sake of the ever-fresh eternality. If one, however, fosters a desire, O king, to lord over what one calls the realm of the enjoyment of the gods in the sky, or wishes to rule the world of the gunas using the 8 mystic powers, one inevitably has to count with the mind and the senses associated therewith. One says that the great transcendentalists in the realm of the subtle body, because of their knowledge, austerity, yoga, and absorption, are able to move freely within and without the 3 worlds, while those who do their work based upon material motives never attain such progress. In the control of the divinity of fire, one attains by following the path of the breath, the illuminating pure spirit of the Absolute, whereupon, being freed from impurities going upwards, one reaches the Lord, O King, called Shishumara. Passing beyond that navel of the universe, the pivot, the center of spin of the maintainer Vishnu, only the individual living being who got purified by the realization of his smallness, the yogi, reaches the place worshipped by those who know the Absolute Spirit. The self-realized souls enjoy their stay there for the time of a kalpa. Thereupon, he who from the bed of Vishnu, Ananta, sees how the universe is burning to ashes because of the fire from his mouth, will leave that place for the supreme abode that lasts for 2 parardas and is the home of the purified souls of elevation. There, one will never find bereavement or old age, death, pain or anxieties, save that one sometimes has feelings of compassion when one sees the ignorant who are subjected to the hard to overcome misery of the repetition of birth and death. After surpassing the forms of water and fire, and thus having reached that pure self free from fear, one, thus having attained the effulgent atmosphere, in due course of time by the self its air reaches the ethereal self, the true greatness of one's soul. By sense having the smell, by the palate having the taste, by the eye having visions, by physical contact being in touch, and finally by sound vibrations experiencing the quality of the eater, the yogi, by dint of the activity of the senses, also attains the more subtle sphere. After thus, at the mental level, in relation to the gross and subtle, has reached a neutral point of eye awareness, he, in the mode of goodness, surpasses that realization of himself that is subject to change, the ego, and progresses, by stopping the operation of the natural modes, towards the reality of perfect wisdom. By that purification towards the self of the supersoul, the person attains the peace, satisfaction, and natural delight of being freed from all impurities. He who attains this destination of devotion certainly will never again get attracted to this material world, my dearest Parikshit. The two direct and indirect paths that I describe to you, O protector of man, are, as your majesty requested, in proper accord with the Vedas. It is also in full agreement with the eternal truth, as formerly explained by Lord Vasudeva to Lord Brahma, who had satisfied him in worship. For those who in this life wander around in the material universe, there is, for sure, no way of attaining more auspicious than the direct path by which one arrives at the devotional service, Bhakti Yoga, of the Supreme Personality, Lord Vasudeva. The great personality Vyasadeva studied the Vedas 3 times in total, and scrutinously, with scholarly attention examining them, he ascertained that someone is optimally focused when he is attracted to the soul. The Supreme Personality can be perceived in all living beings as the actual nature of that soul, as the Lord, who by the intelligence of the seer is recognized by inference from different signs and effects. Therefore, every human soul, O King, must, wherever he is and whenever he exists, hear about, glorify, and remember the Lord as the Supreme Personality of the human being. They who fill their ears with the narrations about the Supreme Lord most dear to the devotees, and drink from that nectar, will find their, by material pleasure contaminated state of mind, purified, and return to the presence of his lotus feet.